The book of Romans, please. Chapter 16, verse 17. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? Thank you for that good special. That was good. Thank you. Verse 17 says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple, for your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I'm glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that you take your word, Lord, and open it to us. Give us understanding and insight, Lord, in what you would have for us in our lives. Thank you for the great love wherein you have loved us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul, in closing this book of Romans, we've been preaching out of Romans for quite some time, and I realize I've skipped a little bit here, but the reason I have it, most of it is Paul's talking about wanting to visit them and all like that, and we come to just kind of a closing bit of advice, okay? And it's probably some of the wisest counsel that you will receive in church and in life, okay? And have you ever been sucked into a situation through no fault of your own, but you wake up one day and find yourself in the middle of a mess? You ever been there and done that? And you ask, what happened? Well, this is kind of what we're going to address tonight. Okay, that's kind of the idea of this package of this scripture, and we start in verse 17, where he says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions or offenses." That word "note" it means to keep your eyes on. As a matter of fact, the New American Standard Bible says, "Keep your eyes on those who cause divisions or offensive." You are aware, or did you know, that there are people you better watch? That's what Paul's saying. To put it in common our language, there are people you better keep your eyes on. You can't pretend they're not there. You can't ignore them. Instead, you watch them. And you don't watch them, okay? You know, some people watch, and we watch so that at the first sight of them getting out of line, we can jump down their throat. That's not the idea here, okay? The idea is not to run them off or to offend them. Paul's simply saying you better watch them and identify them so that you will know how to respond to them when they approach you. And beloved, they will approach you. All right? Maybe in church, maybe in life, school, work, but there are those that you better just kind of keep an eye on, okay? Those who cause division. That word "division" means to cut into pieces, literally, to cut something into pieces. He's talking here, I realize, he's talking about those who would divide the church or create a state of disunity. And a state of disharmony among the brethren, right? Are you familiar with the phrase "divide and conquer"? That's what Satan does to his church, okay? I want to tell you, there is nothing that Satan would not like better than to get in the middle of victory, okay? God is good, and God has blessed this church family. But I want to tell you, Satan doesn't like us very much, right? Right? He does it in churches. He does it in communities. He does it in our country. You look at the country today. What's wrong with our country? Well, one of the major things that are wrong with our country is it's black against white. It's police officer against the poor. It's fed, honestly, and this is opinion, fed by the media, you know. And honestly, when a police officer shoots someone, it doesn't have to be described as a white cop and a black person being shot, or vice versa. A police officer shot someone, you know. But there's just divisiveness in our society. There's divisiveness in our church. But what we have to understand is that a kingdom, as Jesus put it in Matthew 12:25, a kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. What I want to challenge you to do first of all tonight is to treasure the unity that we have at Victory Baptist Church. Okay? We have common ground. Do we always agree on everything? Do you agree with me on everything? I'm glad nobody said amen, because my wife don't even agree with me on everything. But you know what? That's okay. What brings us together is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're on common ground with Jesus as our Lord. But there are those who are just waiting. Those who would divide, cut down the middle. And here's their strategy. I like the way it puts it. Mark those, or note those, who cause divisions and offenses. That word offense is an interesting word. It literally means to bait something. To dangle the bait out in front of you. So that's, you see the progression here. There are those that are going to divide. How are they going to divide? They're going to dangle the bait in front of your face. Okay? It's kind of like when you go fishing. That's what you do. You dangle the minnow or the artificial lure or the jig or whatever in front of that fish. And does he strike that bait because he's hungry? No. Most of the time not. He strikes that bait because he's territorial and sometimes even mad. Isn't that what happens to us? I mean, you think about it. If somebody wants to divide, how do they divide? They divide by emotions. Emotions are a wonderful thing. You talk about the emotion of love, that's good. But emotions are also a harmful thing. Emotions like anger. What do you do when you get angry? Well, you say things you shouldn't say. You do things you shouldn't do. You make decisions that you should not make. It's that bait being dangled in front of you. You know, if they make me mad, I'll say something. I don't have to take that. If they make me mad, I'll do something. Every time when I let the anger or the wrath control me. You see, that's why I'm real big. I'm really big. And I've had this talk with our staff and I've had this talk with others. You never, ever act out of emotion. Never. Why? Because you're going to mess it up when you do. You got to think. You got to think before you jump in. And if you question that, James 1:20. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The next time you get angry, turn to John chapter 1 and read verse 20 in the angriest voice you possibly can. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You'll feel real better. A lot better. No, you'll feel, okay, I just need to settle down and not do anything. And here's the key. Okay? The goal of Satan is to divide. His ploy is to bait you. And here's how he does it. He does it by leading you down roads that you know you don't want to go down. Okay? Here's the key. And he says, contrary to the doctrine which you learned. Doctrine is teaching. Now, our first thought when we say doctrine is the doctrine of security of the believer. the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith. And those are doctrines, okay? But we have other doctrines. The word doctrine literally means teaching. I was talking with my daughter the other day, and she and I have been having some real good Bible conversations, and she made a request of me. She said, "Dad, I want to do a doctrine study." And I was kind of left speechless there for a moment. "So you do? Wonderful. What do you want to study?" "I want to study doctrine." "Okay. Do you know what the term doctrine means?" "It means teaching. Everything we're taught is doctrine. There's doctrine of love, doctrine of unity, harmony, the biblical inspiration of God. I mean, everything that we're taught." So the idea here is not just baptism by immersion. The idea is everything that you know to be true because you've been taught it. There are things that you've been taught all your life that you know are right. And things that you've been taught all your life, you know that are wrong. Right? So, there has to be a standard by which you're going to measure your reaction. Whether it's in the church or whether it's in this world. Whether it's a temptation to get angry and make somebody mad, or it's a temptation when you're at school to go to parties that you shouldn't go or do things that you shouldn't do. Okay? When that temptation is presented, you've got to have a standard. And it can't be a personal standard. Because you know what? My personal standards change depending on how I feel at any given time. Don't you? I mean, let's face it. Sometimes I don't want to mess with it. Sometimes it's not so bad. Yeah? I've got to have a hard, concrete standard. What is that standard? That standard's the Word of God. Okay? I mean, it's very simple. The Word of God. That's why 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out of this world." Here it is. Satan's ready to bait you. He's ready to take you down a road that you know is wrong. Here's your response. Stop. Stop. And begin to think. All right? Lay the emotion aside. "You don't understand, Brother Doug. I'm mad." It doesn't matter if you're mad. Lay it aside. Stop. And think. I'm going to measure this thing against the standard of the Word of God. Okay? And I'm going to see how it measures up. I'm going to see what God says about it. Did someone say something derogatory about you or to you? How are you going to respond? Well, jump down their throat. They shouldn't have said that. Absolutely not. Measure it against the standard of God's Word. God's Word says what? We're to love one another. By this, all men shall know that you're my disciples. Right? See, does it make sense? Whether we're talking about the doctrine of baptism or doctrine of love, there are things that you know. And if we will just not act out of emotion and want to be a part of a certain crowd or want to make somebody happy and back up and say, "God, how does this situation measure up in your Word?" Just think. Our actions will be a lot different. We'll lose our cool a lot less. We'll say things that we shouldn't say a lot less. We'll make others angry a lot less. We will not take the bait, is what I'm trying to get you to. All right? As you measure it, you've been tempted. Their strategy was to dangle the bait, and whatever that bait is, and you stood back and you've thought about it and said, "Okay, no, this doesn't measure up to the Word of God. This doesn't measure up to who and what I am." Then he says the last three words, "and avoid them." There are some people that are not good for you. Amen? There are some people who do not edify, whether it's outside the church or inside the church. There are some people that you don't need to be around. Why? Because they will take you down a road that you don't want to go. So what do you do? Avoid them. Now listen, I'm not talking about, we all have a bad day here and there. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those that you know they're going down a road that's going to hurt you, going to hurt them, or going to hurt somebody else. That's when you back up, you put the brakes on, you say, no, I'm not going with them. See, here's what you've got to know. Verse 18. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth word and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple. First red flag, they do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Figure out their motivation. Why are they doing what they're doing? Why are they attacking you? Why are they trying to lead you down that road? You know you don't want to go down. You'll find it's not for the glory of God. And beloved, if it's not for the glory of God, it's not for you and I. Amen. Does it make sense? You'll discover that they have a deeper purpose. Have you ever noticed how sinners love company? They do. They want to drag everybody else into their sin. That's why it's so hard for our young people today, because they're tempted, because others who are doing things that they shouldn't do will go right to those who are not and say, come on, come be a part of this crowd. Come on, you know. And then they'll make fun of them when they say, no, I don't do that. Oh, you big sissy, you big baby, you know, whatever. Measure them by the Word of God. In church, when somebody runs to you and says, do you know what Brother Dale did? Don't say, no, what? You can kind of tell before they say anything. This is not going to be good for Brother Dale. You can just say, well, yeah, I will listen, but before I do, I want you to know I love him and I support him. And you know what? They'll yank that bait away from you and they'll go to somebody else. You see, as Paul says, when Paul says they don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ, that should be big flashing red sign. And what should really be the big flashing red sign is what he said. They serve their own belly. Meaning their own appetites. I think the New American Standard says they serve their own appetites. You're going to find that there's an ulterior motive in those people. And that motive is not to glorify God. It's going to be a what's in it for them kind of thing. Okay, it may be a revenge kind of thing. Brother Doug did something they didn't like, so we got to get him back. Or it may be something else entirely. But what you're going to find is they do it usually for their own personal benefit, whether it be for personal gain or personal vengeance or whatever the case. I look at the Bible and the men of the Bible, such as the Apostle Paul, all the disciples, all the apostles. You know, and I'm really amazed how they literally laid their life aside for the glory of God. Paul said he counted all things lost except for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ his Lord. Philippians 3:8. I want to tell you, you want to know the motivation of someone, you look at what they've done and what they're doing for God. Okay? When it ceases to be about them and begins to be about God, you'll see less and less of that baiting you down a road that you don't want to go. And beloved, they can be very convincing. I like the way Paul put it. He said, But by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple. I want to tell you what, I can justify about anything I want to justify. Have you ever noticed that? I can be mad at Brother Ken Worthing. Who am I kidding? Nobody can be mad at Brother Ken. Yes, I can. And I can run over to Brother Michael and I can justify every bit of my anger. But that doesn't make it right, does it? No. No. Be careful. Be careful whether you're in this church or whether you're out there of those people that lead you down roads that will be destructive to your life. You do realize you're one bad decision away from disaster. Do you know that? Young people, so proud of y'all singing tonight. Do a wonderful job. You remember, you're one bad decision away from disaster. And contrary to popular opinion, you're not bulletproof when you're 19, 18 years old. Right? Measured against the standard of God. Don't fall for the traps. Last part. Verse 19. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. I mean, you know, things, after all, things are pretty black and white, are they not? There's good and there's evil. We want the good and we want to avoid the evil. It's not hard to figure out. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. Brother Doug, you don't understand the temptation that's there. Yeah, we covered that this morning. I do. It hasn't changed. You know? Be wise. Be smart. Use your mind. Okay? Don't be controlled by emotions. Stop and think before you act. The best advice that Paul could give anybody, wherever they are in life, stop and think before you act. Does that make sense? Amen? And I'll tell you what, that is advice that's good if you're 8 years old or if you're 80 years old. Right? Stop and think before you act. You may be here tonight. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you the good news. And the good news is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth and gave His life as a sacrifice because you are a sinner. Okay? You have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus loved you so much that He was willing to sacrifice Himself and die upon the cross of Calvary, shedding His blood so that you might have eternal life. Today, if you've not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to come. I want you to experience the love of God. Today, there may be something else in life that's troubling you. You know, you may be facing that temptation and it's really tough and you're really tempted to go down a road that you know you don't want to go down. I want to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that if we will resist the devil, he'll flee from us. That if we'll draw near to God, He will draw near to us. And I believe that. You say, Brother Doug, how do you know? Because I've been tempted before. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. I've been tempted. I wanted to do something. And I knew it was bad. And I said, okay, I'm going to pray about this. And you know what? I prayed about it. And guess what? Temptation wasn't nearly as bad. Prayed about it a little more. The temptation was gone. Listen, God's not a liar. He will stand upon His word. If you have a need tonight, this invitation is for you. Whether it be salvation or you need to come to this altar and draw near to God, whatever the need is, I'd invite you to come. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, just for the spiritual wisdom that's in the closing words of this book of Romans. We know there are people out there, Lord, who do not have our good in mind. We know that Satan wants to destroy His church. We know he wants to destroy Your children. So, Lord, help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Help us to stop and think before we act, before we speak. And help us, Lord, to note those who would cause division in our lives. Help us, Lord, to identify those who would bait us to sin. And Lord, help us to be strong enough to avoid them. Help us, Lord, always to be near You. We pray Your will be done in Jesus' name.